Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. This is Triangulation, episode 360, recorded August 10th, 2018, for airing August 17th, 2018, Sal Segoyan, Part 2. Triangulation is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter, where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we talk with some of the most interesting people in tech. Part two today, because it was so good and we didn't want to stop, of our conversation. You saw it last week with Sal Segoyan, the guy who really became known as the face of AppleScript and Automator at Apple. He left Apple a few years ago, but he's keeping automation alive. And this time I'm going to put him on the spot and I'm going to ask him stories about Steve Jobs. So welcome Sal Segoyan to Triangulation. So Sal, you've got a lot of Steve Jobs stories. Tell us a few. You were so lucky to get to work with him. I'm sure you didn't feel that way every day.
Well, he was lucky to get to work with
me. He was too. Lucky to get to work with you. See, that's the right answer.
You know, I wasn't afraid of Steve.
Yeah.
And he never yelled at me the entire time we knew each other.
Amazing.
He never yelled at me.
He respected you.
He respected me. And he put my stuff on stage multiple times.
Yeah.
And I heard from, like, one time Katie Cotton told me that, you know, I was the only guy he applauded. He was sitting in the back of the room at some big presentation, and that I was the only guy he applauded.
He liked you. Yeah.
He called me Saul, though.
he didn't know your name.
He didn't know my name.
The whole time.
Saul.
Hey, Saul.
So Naomi says that there's 10 guys named Saul who got fired at Apple and they have no idea.
Fire Saul. We don't like that Saul. Better call Saul.
So the guy that was in charge of advertising was a guitar player, a cool dude. And he was in New York at some show, and he got roped into flying back from New York with Steve. Steve hated flying, and he would start talking because he was nervous on the plane.
Oh, that's funny.
And so Alan's flying back from New York with Steve on the company jet, and he's telling me about, you know, the whole story about Steve Blab and everything. And he says, did you know what his favorite movie is? And I said, what? He goes, Patton. Because Patton was his favorite movie. And I said,
that was Nixon's favorite movie.
I said, wow, okay, that's pretty interesting.
No kidding.
And so I went back.
It's a great movie.
And I wrote Steve an email.
Yeah.
And I said, Steve, I said, I'm just a soldier. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll fight the fight. I said, I'll take it to him and I won't let up. I said, but you got me out here with no supply line. I'm out in the middle of nowhere with no supplies. How can I take it to Microsoft if I don't got the tools I need? The next day,
that's very
I get a
funny.
Call from Espinoza going, what did you do? And I went, what? He goes, we got a 2 o'clock appointment with Phil and Avi. And so we walk in over in building two, and there's Phil and Avi, and he goes, what do you guys need? What do you want?
OMG.
To get, you know, an interface. And they were thinking, do you want to buy a company, or what do you want to do? And Espinoza's brilliant. Espinoza goes, no, man, we want to be with part of Project Builder and Interface Builder. We want to be a language. And then Avi goes, oh.
Avi would get that.
Yeah, Avi goes,
oh, that's a good idea.
Okay, that's a good idea. He goes, how many people do you need? And Espinoza goes, one. He goes, one? He goes, yeah, we want Tim Bumgarner. And that was it. And they said, okay, you got whatever you want. And it's in a project, you're approved.
That's nice.
And so that created AppleScript Studio based upon that one observation.
A little patent goes a long way.
One email to Steve, that was it.
I love it. That's brilliant.
So how long did you work on getting that email short?
Yeah. And, you know, Steve used to send me an email. He'd send me a question, like in an email. Should we do blah? And then it would take like 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, because you got
to
really
so
craft
I'd have
it.
So I'd have to, first of all, figure out what it was he wanted to know. I'd research it. And then I had to, you know, distill that down to like a paragraph with three reference links. always a paragraph with three reference links.
That's what he wanted.
Yes. You know, and nobody would ever tell you that, but that's,
you learned.
That's what I learned. It's a paragraph with three reference links. And that's basically
how interesting.
I used to hear from him occasionally, you know, on different projects and stuff. And he would ask me to do things. And sometimes he would have me in meetings where I really didn't belong.
Why am I here? Yeah.
But he would, there was some reason that he trusted me or wanted me to hear stuff. Like he would go in. I saw him pitch companies, do pitches to companies where he kicked out every Apple employee except for me in the room. And I'm sitting there watching Steve pitch and I'm like, whoa. Okay, that's a salesman.
I want you to write a book. Is he going to write a book?
It's not the guy. It's not the guy that I didn't work with that guy.
No, that's the thing.
I work with
you had a unique perspective on who this guy was, and admittedly, he was many things to many people.
He might have been that guy. I don't know, but he never was that guy to me.
Yeah, that's the point, and I think it would be really interesting to hear from you. Have people interviewed you and talked to you?
I've told a couple stories, but I've never really told the depth of.
You want to come on and we could. It doesn't have to be a book. We could do As Told To, Sal Segoyan As Told To Triangulation. I'd love to hear more Steve stories. Do you have a whole bunch of them?
Yeah. So
who doesn't want to hear more Steve stories?
I'm doing
right?
The Leopard Tech Talk tour with John Galenzi and the Evangelism crew. We're in New York. We drop by the Apple Glass store.
So,
you know, the guy, the manager sees us that we're there. He gives us a tour of the store and everything.
Nice.
We're coming out of the store, walking down Fifth Avenue. And the guy next to me, he's this guy who was in charge of printing, like Mr. Mort Meek, bland guy. Very, very nice man, very good, efficient, well-knowing, knowledgeable person, just a quiet man.
Yeah.
And the guy starts elbowing me. And I'm like, what the hell? What? And he's going like this. And I turn to my left and it's SJ. And I go, Steve. And he goes, Saul. And so we're walking together down Fifth Avenue, right? And he goes, what the hell are you doing here? I said, I'm doing the Leopard Tech Talk tour. And I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm in town. The wife's got me buying stuff. And it's like,
so funny.
And so we walk for a block and he goes, so how's the thing going? And you know, we're talking. And what are you, you know, what do they like best? And I'm, and I said, so how's the holiday? And he's like, and so he goes, I got to go in here. He goes, stops at some shop and he goes, but will you do me a favor? Before you leave, will you drop by the Soho store? They need some love. And I'm standing there.
What
Steve,
does that mean?
Steve's telling a joke. It's Steve telling a joke. And I'm like blown away that Steve's telling a joke.
Wow.
And I start laughing. Like
not known for his joking?
No, but he was actually telling a joke.
They need some love.
They need some love.
Did you ever say, Steve, it's Sal?
What do you mean?
Did you ever correct
him? Oh, no. Katie Cotton did that.
Katie said that.
When I would
Steve, that's not
when
Saul,
I did the presentation for Automator at WWDC and I was on stage, I'm standing there rehearsing and I'm standing and Steve's like leaning against the stage right here with Katie next to him. And it's Steve go, no, Saul, you need to do that. And she goes, Sal. No, Saul, no, Sal. No, no, Saul, no, Sal. And I finally, I turn to Katie and I go, Katie, let him call me whatever he wants. I don't care. And, you know, it went in one ear and out the other with him, you know. And so when he called me up on stage, I'm sitting backstage getting ready to go on. And you can see the video of this. This is all recorded, right? I'm backstage with the handler, and he has a headset. The handler's phone goes off. It's SJ. SJ is somebody else is presenting. SJ walked off the stage on the other side. He calls over to say, what's Saul's name? And he goes, I knew it was SJ because he goes, no, it's Sal. It's Sal Segoyan. What's his title again? Product manager, blah, 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 right?
It's not a card.
And so Steve comes back on to introduce me, and he overclicks the thing.
Oh.
So he doesn't have the slide that says who he is. And he says, and here to show Automator is Saul, who you all know. And I'm standing down here at the bottom, and I look up at him, and he's got this look like, I can't believe I f***ed that up. up. And he's looking at me, and I'm trying to keep from laughing. And I'm saying, thank you, Steve. We appreciate this. We're really, really,
so, you all know.
And so I get back to my office the next day, and my name tag's off the door. And instead of Sal Segoin, it's Saul, who you all know, spelled like it was French, J-A-U-L-L-N-A-U-X or something like that.
And I'd like to invite Saul up on the stage, whom you all know, to give us a demo of all that.
Thank you, Saul.
Hello.
You all know. He looks exactly the same.
I'm
12 years later.
To be here today to show you this innovative, groundbreaking application.
Sal is the best.
Right. Sal Segoin is our guest. I want to take a little break. Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're doing the hiring in your company, if you're the HR or you're like me, you're a small company, you got to do it all. The worst time, actually, is when you're down a person. You need to hire because somebody's left, and you don't. You're already doing two things at once. Now you got to find somebody. ZipRecruiter to the rescue. This is the best way to find that right person. Now let's stipulate the right person's out there, the perfect person for the job. We actually just went through this. Our bookkeeper left. She got another job. She gave us 2 weeks' notice. And Lisa, who otherwise, you know, is otherwise occupied, is now going to have to do the accounting too. She says, "Oh no!" So I said, "Well, this is perfect. We can use ZipRecruiter," and we did. And it was an amazing thing. We did this at breakfast. She posted the job probably 8 or 9 a.m. Before lunch, it was great. I'm sitting here and we're talking. She keeps exclaiming, "Oh, another one!" Before lunch, we had four very qualified candidates. They rolled right in. Now, let me tell you why this works so well and so fast. First of all, and by the way, we'd been through this before, and it was a nightmare. ZipRecruiter really was the right way to do this. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the world's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, and this was the thing that was giving us these results so fast, ZipRecruiter goes through millions of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invites them to apply for your job. It's kind of like they're headhunting for you. As the applications come in, ZipRecruiter, before you see them, they analyze them, spotlight the top candidates, and that's why Lisa was going, oh, it was such a good feeling to know, hey, we're not going to be a month with Lisa running the company and trying to keep the books. We're going to find somebody. We're going to find somebody fast. Thank you, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through this site within the first day. And as I said, we got it within the first couple of hours. It was amazing. With results like that, it's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. I give it my highest rating. Oh, and by the way, you could do it free right now. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/triangulation, you have to go to that address, ZipRecruiter.com/triangulation. Don't suffer. The right person's out there. You know that, the perfect person. You don't have to know how to reach them. You just need to know ZipRecruiter.com/triangulation. It really works. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. We did hire, and we're very happy, very happy with the person. Cherie's been great. Good to have you in here. I'm really glad things are going well for you.
Yeah.
Well, I was so devastated when I heard what happened. I thought, this is terrible. This is a bad sign. Apple's going in the wrong direction. But it's encouraging. It's still happening.
You know, it's a reality. It's a basic function of human nature. We, as humans, we look for ways to automate everything we do.
We want to get our hands in this thing.
That's why we have power tools.
But I know, but it worries me because there's a whole generation that's grown up with just press the next button.
Right.
Next button. You know, what's the next? Oh, you don't have to press a button anymore. It just plays the next video. I'll just sit here.
You watch what happens with Siri shortcuts. Now that you start opening it up.
I hope so. Yeah. Can you edit a shortcut? So if it presents a shortcut and you accept it, can you then open it and modify it?
You can. Because they're workflows.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, see, now
so it kind of pre-writes something.
There's like multiple things going on under one name. series shortcut is actually multiple levels of stuff.
Yeah.
It can get very complicated using the...
I thought it was smart because the suggestions is really smart because vast majority of people don't want to write a script.
Right.
But if you got a suggestion and then maybe you could open the suggestion and say, I could also have it tell me what time it is or pull the weather down.
Okay. Not only do I do that when I go here, but then I'll do this. Yeah.
Maybe I should do that too.
Totally.
We'll start doing that on iOS today, I think. As soon as iOS 12 comes out,
I'll bet you, Leo, that's going to be one of the most popular things you've done.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, there's people like, are you familiar with Rosemary Orchard? Do you know Rosemary? A young lady from England, fantastic. It's all about automation. She has automationorchard.com.
I love the name.
Rosemary Orchard, man. Just follow her. And she's
she has a podcast, too. Oh, you've been on her podcast.
Yes.
Automators.
I'm telling you that this is becoming something, Leo. The young people are picking this up.
Nice.
They're going with it. They're excited by it. They're the ones that are writing the little JavaScript applets inside the Drafts app. This is catching on. This is going to be a wave.
Wow. So I'm really intrigued by other languages, because I still have difficulty getting my head around AppleScript.
Yeah,
you can't do both AppleScript and a standard language because it's too confusing.
Some people,
for me,
I know a couple engineers that can write four or five different languages and they don't care.
I know
it depends on your personality.
Yeah, right? I guess AppleScript is so different.
It does take a certain thing.
Lisp to do it.
But instead of AppleScript, you use JavaScript for automation, and you're writing JavaScript that does the same Apple events as AppleScript.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Is an AppleScript dictionary...
A JavaScript dictionary.
It's going to have... Will an app have a JavaScript dictionary?
Yeah, it's the same dictionary. There's a little button there that says, show me this is JavaScript, and it does camel casing.
That's all it's doing.
So the property name, instead of having two words, is now camel cased.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so it's not so the calls are basically the same.
Yeah, they're the same commands, but you do the language in typed format. So you do object dot blip dot.
So, is there actually an OSA hook somewhere? I mean, is there a blob that you interact with that these higher level like AppleScript and JavaScript interact with? An intermediate, or is it right into Apple events?
It's Apple events.
It goes Apple straight.
Yeah, it's an Apple event language. It's a peer of Apple.
And is that documented?
Apple events?
It's pretty well documented.
On my website, I have documentation for it.
Okay.
Apple never really documented it very well, so I did a 30-minute video that showed you the insides and outs.
I'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you could write a library for any language that would interact with Apple events.
Yeah,
really.
Totally.
Yeah. So instead of writing to, the shell, write to Apple events directly.
Well, the thing about using AppleScript is you have access to the entire shell.
I know. Yeah.
You have do shell script, plus you have AppleScript Objective-C, which means every Cocoa framework is open to AppleScript. So I can go to I can create a QR code using ImageKit and then go to PDFKit or MapKit and come back to AppleScript, and it's incredibly powerful.
See, it's so funny. I think there's like the programming community they look down their nose at it or something. Because you would think there'd be all these libraries for interfacing. Every language would have an interface to this.
Yeah.
It doesn't, as far as I know. I mean, that's
it's a unique thing that Apple has.
But everybody uses it. Everybody uses
it. The difficulty is getting management to understand its importance and its role.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve got that.
Right.
You know, the first time...
because you yelled at him.
Well, no. I mean, the first time, it was a couple times when I would show Steve something and he would just go... And, he'd instantly figure it out in 10 seconds.
He got it at a level that a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
People say that about everything.
Steve had the fastest brain. The only other guy who had the brain fast like Steve was Woz.
Oh, Woz, yeah.
Yeah. That kind of brain, Steve had it, but on another side of the table.
Yeah, the hardware.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I've been using... Script Debugger. I like, and they just came
fantastic.
Out with a new edition.
Yes.
New version.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I thought, oh, it's not dead.
No.
It's great news.
It now does AppleScript Objective-C. It shows you, it debugs in Objective-C.
So when I saw that, I thought, okay, that's good. Apple's probably not keeping the AppleScript editor up to date.
Yeah.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
So there's somebody working on it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You know, they're, Apple is fixed.
They know it's important.
I filed 4 or 5 bugs that they all fixed.
Oh, that's good news.
Oh, totally. They're not going to.
So there's a team still there.
Well, no, it's not a team. It's like individuals
it's
hired
some guy.
You know, to keep it maintained. But they're not going to let it go because it's too important to what they do and everybody else. It's better for them just to maintain it and keep it solid.
Otherwise, they'd hear from a lot of people.
It would be their own internal processes would collapse.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. That's the argument for them never killing the Mac. They need
it's
it.
Just
they have to have it.
How are you going to develop?
Right. Who's going to write apps?
You're going to use Xcode on an iPad? Ain't going to happen. No.
Well, that's always been the argument on Mac Break Weekly is like, well, you know, as soon as they could put Xcode on an iPad, they probably would kill a Mac. Right?
Not the same.
No one wants to write Xcode on an iPad.
No. iPad has a certain role. It can't. Don't try to make it a Mac.
Yeah.
Just let it do what it does really well.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about that Omni thing is you saw the complexity what it did on the Mac,
it's
and
very
then
impressive.
It did the same
and
thing
it's doing
on an
that
iPad.
With WebKit. I think that's a brilliant idea.
Aren't they smart?
That's really
Ken,
smart. Let
you
WebKit
know Ken.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let WebKit do it. That's really
and
smart.
And it ships on every Apple device.
Yeah.
And it's not going away.
Right. It has to.
And they maintain it. They make it super fast and efficient.
Right. And it could be cross-platform. And WebKit supported
it totally on is.
Platforms.
It totally is.
Chrome is WebKit on. Is it just on Apple, or is it WebKit on Android too? I feel like it is.
Well, core JavaScript is core JavaScript, regardless of
anywhere.
What wrappers around it.
Right.
Whether you're WebKit or something else.
Right.
Core JavaScript is really what's going on.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So that core. You're saying core JavaScript is the OSA layer.
They're using it to expose the object model of their applications. So,
you don't really need. You could talk directly to the application.
Yeah. So go to the Omni-Automation website. Yeah.
Okay. Omni Automation. The name for Omni is language based on JavaScript.
I want to show you a simple script.
Okay.
All right. So that's what it looks like.
Right.
Right? So when that will create a circle and an OmniGraphical document and colorize it a certain way. And you can run it right from the web page, or you can copy it or do whatever
really
you want.
That's really interesting to me.
They have full object model scriptability for all their apps. And I've documented it on the site with all clickable examples. And you can write your own plugins to the Omni stuff. So you create your JavaScript plugin. And it also works with URLs.
So this canvas is a JavaScript style? It's a JavaScript canvas? Or
no, that's...
That's Omni.
OmniGraphical canvas.
Yeah.
So it's just like regular JavaScript, but you're actually scripting the object model of the application.
It's in the application.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
And this is actually...
Yeah, that's the whole code.
That script
right. Is
a QR code,
right.
So you can hold
so cool.
your device
right.
up to it,
brilliant.
And it will create the circle
brilliant.
For you.
So this script has to know that it's running in Omni for it to make any sense.
Yes.
Because it's talking about this document. This document means the frontmost window.
So every Omni application has a console built in that you can run the script in the console or make it a scriptable URL that has OmniGraphical as
and it
the
would,
thing
it would use the URL
and it executes that.
Yeah.
And then I have pages.
Apple's not going to take that URL calling out. I heard that they were worried about that.
No.
They don't like it.
Well,
because it's a security issue.
Well, you know, it's too late.
Everything
because they didn't
it.
Give people a choice. They didn't
That's
give them
right.
an Apple event architecture.
It's kind of a hack, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
And if you don't give people a choice...
They're going to use what they got.
They're going to use what they have. And now at this point, too much
late.
Is dependent upon it.
They love Omni, I'm sure.
Well, they're also... They need iPads
they
sold.
And that sells iPads.
How are you
going to
sell... How are you going to go into the enterprise unless you can give them something that acts like an enterprise piece of equipment?
I don't know.
You know? You want to sell more? I think that the automation is going to sell more devices into the enterprise. Because if I can sit there and create Siri shortcuts for my staff and go, okay, you go out to the client, you press this, and it sets up their thing, and you draw this, and that does this. Okay, now you can make a presentation. You run this script gets the latest figures and prices, you know, and populates your thing. You can create those kind of tools.
It's easy. Yeah. It's
yeah. Enterprise needs that. You're
oh,
not
they
going
want
to
those dashboards.
Anybody.
I know.
Totally.
So what is it? Does Android have an analogous? You said intents. What?
What does Android has intents, which are...
They're permissions, basically, right?
They're basically, I want to do this thing. Can you do this thing for me?
Got it.
I'm going to give you some data. Can you turn it orange? Yes. That's the intent.
Okay.
And then you give me the data back.
Okay.
So Apple has that with extensions.
Right.
And an extension, if you're in Photos and you say, I want to do a special effect, it takes that chunk of data, hands it to the other app. The app manipulates the data, right. hands it back. It's not the like Apple Events where I can ask the other application.
Do this.
What do you have available?
Right. Right. You can't query it.
You can't query it.
You have to know
extensions have no querying. You're not. Right. They're sandbox.
Right.
You're not allowed to find out what's going on. All I do is blindly hand Leo
hope
this.
Something good will
and
happen.
Then something right. comes back and I put it in.
Right.
And that's all I have.
Right.
So Google has AppScript for Google Docs, but it is so hard
right.
to implement because it's server side. So you constantly having to go through this permission level and exposure. There's no user level about it. It's
right.
really for developers that know
have
what
there,
they're doing.
Have there ever been any exploits written in Apple Script? Are there any security?
Rarely. It's they're pretty much dumb exploits, you know.
Right. I mean, VBA could easily be exploited.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is the people that do that, people that use Apple Script know what they're doing.
Right.
It's for productivity. They know exactly right. what they're doing.
Right. And bad guys aren't learning Apple Script.
Because, you know, how are you going to run it?
If you put it on iOS,
how are you going to run it? It's like you said.
Right.
How are they going to run
it?
User. If it's an app, then it's going to ask for permission.
Right.
If it's a script file, the user has
local.
To install it.
Right. 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 But it's not sandbox. I mean,
no.
can do anything you could do in a shell script
yes.
or anything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have, it's a... Yvonne and the team came up with a great compromise. I have all the abilities I want to do.
As a user.
I just have to indicate to the computer
right.
that it's me. I'm
we
installing
have seen
it.
Exploits tricking users into doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one way that exploits get on Windows.
You know, if somebody's going to install a script in a special folder, then you can't help them.
Can you still automate folders and all that stuff on OS X?
Yeah.
They haven't taken any capabilities away.
No.
That's
the dictionaries
that's
and stuff,
one.
All that stuff's still there. AppleScript Objective-C still has access to every call
Swift you said
does.
Microsoft still supports and Apple still supports it, but other developers still
Adobe
supporting
still supports it.
Adobe does?
Yeah, and Apple's apps are still scriptable,
right.
too. Some of the apps that they're bringing across on iOS, like News, they don't have scripting dictionaries. They could. If you're
that's
written
interesting.
In Swift,
this new bridge.
If you're written
bridge.
In Swift, I have on that website, that's why at the bottom of
I
my
love
website,
that.
I have make a scriptable
right.
Swift app.
Right.
Those apps could be scriptable if they implement. All
no,
they
it
have
wouldn't
to
be
do
that
is,
hard to do.
No, it's not hard to turn on.
They have to know that that's
you have to turn
to
it on and then decide what their dictionary is going
to
be. That's the hard part is somebody has to sit
planning
down and go,
dictionary.
What objects do I have? What do I want to expose?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wrote the dictionaries for all of iWork. I wrote
Did
the
you?
Yeah, I wrote the dictionaries for
and
photos.
And they're still in there?
Yeah.
Even the new iWork, they didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that one
What's
example
your...
with the touch bar.
Right.
That was numbers going to Keynote.
Right. That's
and
how,
that
that's
was done with Apple Script through an Automator touch
nice.
Bar action.
So tell me about the process of writing a dictionary. That's kind of interesting. What do you do from scratch?
You look at it from the user's perspective.
What might you want to
because,
do?
Because, for example, the user might think about something as an object that the application actually thinks about as a subclass of a class of this
right.
class. But to the user it's
know.
This.
Right.
So you have to write your dictionary in a way that is user-based, that the user can look at and understand.
Yeah.
Because the user thinks about a text box. The user doesn't understand that there's a default text architecture that's a layer of over here
right.
that's represented by blah.
Right.
To them, it's a box. So you
right.
create this thing called the text box, and that actually is represented in your code by this.
Right.
So the trick is in thinking of it from the user perspective. And that's why a lot of engineers have a hard problem.
They know too much about how the code
they
works.
They just think about everything as, well, it's
they
defined
know.
As a class.
Right.
Let's just
they
expose
don't see
all
it
these
the,
classes.
Yeah,
but that's
no,
not what
that's
the
not
user
what you
wants.
Want. No. So, okay, so do you? So you start out writing the verbs and nouns that the user's going to want.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out how to connect it.
It's pretty easy. Once you declared what objects you want to expose, then the objects have properties. And if you've done key value coding, then the properties just show up automatically when you turn on the scripting architecture.
Right.
So, you know, the box is going to have a width, a height.
All of that
stuff. It's going to have a color. It's going to have a blah. All those, all the objects have properties.
But you're instantiating a box that, is a particular instantiation way down that tree.
Yeah.
How do you tell it that it's that box?
The scripting architecture automatically has that. You that box has a unique identifier.
You just take the identifier.
Yeah,
and put
that the
in there.
User says, "I want the current box." It's automatically identified, or the selection.
The user is basically saying the box on the screen.
Give me the selection.
Box.
Yeah, the one that's selected,
the
or the one that's visible, and then what Omni's done is Omni's gone beyond that, and they have a metadata architecture in every object. That inside that metadata architecture for every object, I can put URLs, 32 bits of text data. I can put an entire story, images. You can store anything in an OmniGraffle object. And it can self-replicate by just touching it using its own metadata.
Wow. So you can put code in it.
Yes. And so on this website, I have plenty of examples of how you can create Omni automation tools that are basically using the metadata of the object to replicate itself.
Right. Right. So a button could have its own code.
Yeah. So you can go click it with this tool, and it creates another one.
Oh, that's really cool.
So if you're diagramming,
that's really sweet.
If you're diagramming, you go click.
So that's
how
they do OmniGraffle. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have an example where I get the entire employee structure of a company stored into the metadata of the canvas, and then you create the hierarchical outline as you're just clicking through from one person to the next.
Really,
you go,
sweet.
I want to go down this chain. So I'm starting with Leo, I'm going here, then I'm going here,
and
then
those already.
And it draws the data from the metadata architecture and lays it out for you.
That's pretty sweet. That was smart of them to do that. That's clever.
Ken and the guys, you're right. They're like
that's very
best
smart.
Developers ever.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Wonder how they came on that.
They were smart.
Said, we need that. You know what? We're going to need that. We need a payload.
Well, they asked me, you know, they brought me in and said, well, what do we need to do? We've decided we're going to do this. How do we implement this? And I said, okay, the first thing we're going to do is implement the URL so that we can talk to other things.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, okay. And I said, okay, this is what we want to do. And then how do we want to expose this? And I gave them some ideas, and they started implementing this. And, you know,
who was the first to use that URL messaging scheme? Wasn't there an app?
Oh, that goes way back to System 8.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's that old.
When the help system, you used to click something in the help system.
That
and
was
something
weird, but that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. It was URLs happening.
Okay, that's interesting. Or URIs, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
URL schema.
Right. But it was always, been viewed as a kind of a hack, but really it isn't.
No, it's actually quite efficient. And now that they created the X callback URL, there's a way to tell the application when you're done.
Right, call it back.
Give me your data to this URL.
Well, that's interesting too.
So they created an Apple event,
basically.
And what
backwards?
So with URLs, there's normally parameter value, right? In your URL, you have the parameter equals and then the value, then ampersand parameter.
Right.
What Omni did was get rid of that. There's only one parameter, equals.
Yeah.
So you take your JavaScript script and then you encode this whole thing.
Right.
And then that's the parameter.
And that could be anything.
So then it's like sending an Apple script, Apple event.
Right.
And it goes across and it gets translated.
There's a limit to how long the URL can be, though. No?
No. I haven't hit it. I'm sending image data in base 64 across there.
Yeah, base 64.
And you don't see it.
Yeah.
There's no limit.
Huh.
So what Drafts has done and the other developers is they've seen what Omni's doing and they've implemented JavaScript in their app. So now with Drafts, you can write drafts, JavaScript.
Well, I know it's scriptable, so it's JavaScript. Yeah,
JavaScript.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting. Was that Drafts 5 that he did that?
Yeah, Drafts 5. Four? And what he's also done is he's provided you hooks directly into the OS for standard things like calendars. So instead of having to go to the OS for calendar or another app, you can go to the Drafts app and ask for the calendar library. And he has a whole library of commands.
Oh, really?
For you.
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you can stay in Drafts and do all this.
Oh, I use Drafts all the time. Yeah. I love it.
All the Omni stuff, these are examples of what you can do. So all the Omni automation fits in hand in glove with Drafts app.
Oh, nice.
So you can write all these different
functions. Yeah, I noticed he has huge support for Omni. Now I know why.
Yeah. Because it's
really
JavaScript. So it goes back and forth. So you can go from Drafts into Omni, Omni to Drafts, back and forth.
Yeah.
This has taken off. Apple might not have intended this to happen, but it's happening.
And people aren't worried. It isn't that it's undocumented or unsupported. It is.
It is.
And people aren't worried that Apple will deprecate it at some point.
No, they can't.
It can't. It's too late.
They can't.
Yeah.
There's a market there. Apple did not provide them the
solution.
There's
a whole ecosystem built around it now.
Totally.
Everybody does it.
What do you think's driving their iOS?
Right.
What's driving interest in iOS?
Right.
Not Facebook.
Right.
It's this stuff.
Right.
The young people like Rosemary, they're excited by the ability, the first time ever, to have their phone be able to automate stuff.
Oh, man, that would be amazing. Yeah, that would really be amazing. It should. It really should. This is good. I'll read this.
Yeah.
So those drafts scripts are JavaScript.
Yeah, so if you click one.
New draft with graphic text.
Okay, so here's the JavaScript plugin for OmniGraffle that takes what you have selected, sends it over to Drafts app, executes a drafts action on it, and then gets the results and brings it back.
Yeah, callback. Yeah,
yeah. And then I explain everything that's going on
there, and
how it works.
Oh,
and I have a video. And then I have a video of it.
This is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Really nicely done.
Dude, it's my site. You know how I work.
This is good, though. But you know what? This is better documentation
than
Agile Tortoise has. So this is useful to see this, to understand.
And everyone has a video, so you can watch it in action.
Yeah. That's really nice. That's really great. Well, I'm going to have to start.
Yeah, you can hang out
at
that site. That's like a couple hours of rat hole time there.
No kidding. No kidding.
And once Omni gets the other two apps, once they get OmniFocus, personal time management, and OmniPlan, you know, project management, scriptable, then they'll have the whole thing covered.
Yeah, if OmniFocus were scriptable, I would probably...
They have URL support, but they're going to make it this support, too.
I would be very interested.
And then it's over with.
That's really what I do with drafts.
Yeah.
To
when you can get that level of granularity, it's done.
That's really interesting.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And the thing is once you can automate something, you're going to shop it? You're going to go someplace else? No.
No.
You're going to stay on that until they break it.
Yeah, Showtime, I'm sure, bought a lot of Macs. Because it works.
When they went from doing 1,800 on-air 20-second promos in 4 days
with a bunch of people
to doing it in 4 hours with a script.
So, does Linux or Windows offer anything along this is it? You'd think they would. So I feel like this is kind of a hidden skill. This is like the hidden gem in Mac OS. So, in between shows, Sal showed me something I had never seen on Mac OS that blew my mind. This is from a site that he has that is something everybody who uses Macintosh should absolutely bookmark. It's called dictationcommand.com. Commands.com. And we're going to show you a little demo that Apple's never shown. No one has ever shown. This is straight out of the year 2020. And we've been able to do this for years on the Macintosh, and no one knows. Watch this.
I have this belief that the computer should serve you.
Yes.
Right?
Crazy man.
Why do we have, for accessibility, why do we have people scraping the screen, looking at this button and stuff? The computer knows everything. Why can't I just ask the computer? This is an example of me using the dictation commands of Mac OS X built in.
Yeah.
to have that computer tell me everything about a presentation and give it to me and deliver it.
So let me go back again. Yeah. We're going to hear Sal ask what it, for what he wants.
Right.
Open document.
This is the document.
Tell me about this presentation.
The current document, named Bright Future, is not playing. Its dimensions are 1920 by 1080 and is based on the gradient theme. It has six slides, of which two slides are skipped. The current slide is slide number one, and slide numbers are not showing. The document has been previously saved.
Tell me about this slide.
The current slide is slide number one. Its master slide is photo, horizontal. A transition effect has been applied. The default slide title is showing. The default slide body is showing. And the slide has no presenter notes.
Tell me about the transition of this slide.
The current slide transition effect is set to dissolve. It is started on click, and the transition duration is 1.5 seconds.
Start from the top. Read this slide.
Bright future.
Hear the tone?
Yeah.
The growth of renewable energy production in California. A close-up image of a solar panel displaying a grid of squares containing vertical sections of blue photovoltaic material.
Read the next slide.
Slide 2 of 4. Bright future. The percentage of energy generated in California by renewable technologies is greater than coal, hydroelectric, nuclear, and oil combined. A graphic showing that the amount of energy in California generated by renewable technologies is only surpassed by natural gas.
Stop this presentation.
So what are you hooking into here?
Because that's
you Apple can't do that right
it's
now.
Apple Script Library. It's a
open document.
Oops.
It's like an 800K file. It's just an Apple Script that has routines that when I ask a question, it gets the dictation architecture says, okay, that matches this command, and it goes to the library and executes that command. So when I say, tell me about this.
Do you have the script anywhere I can look at it?
Yeah.
So the script can get from the dictation. It can get the text or...
The dictation can call the commands in the script library.
Okay.
This is built into every Mac. It's been there for 15
years. I really got to look at this.
Right?
Okay, so I could... What do I have to be doing? Running that script?
No, all you have to do is turn on dictation.
So I press function key twice, yeah, and I give it a command. And how does it know to run the script?
It matches... That command is matched to that library. This is what the computer is capable of doing. And not only did I have it tell me about it, I had started telling it, go to the first slide.
Yeah.
And I'm saying...
And that's all Keynote Dictionary,
yeah,
OSA.
That's what happens when you take a scriptable app like Keynote.
Right.
You create an Apple Script library.
Yeah.
And now you can
tell it to do stuff.
So...
And then it sends that... What's cool is it sends it back to the voice.
Yeah. Okay. This is my website for this.
Okay.
Right? So scroll up.
So you could... This is fascinating.
Yeah.
I didn't know you
this
could
video
do this.
Right there.
I didn't know you could do this.
This has been there for 15 years,
No one
Leo.
Knows this. You know it.
Now,
here we go.
This is what's possible.
Switch to photos.
This is live. This is me
Select
doing this.
All photos. Help me to add titles.
Enter the title for image 1 of 5.
Wow. This would be a great accessibility feature.
Or just usefulness.
Just useful, yeah.
Yeah. So...
Does anybody use
3 of 5.
Yes.
People are doing this.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to have to...
Dictation architecture on Mac OS is incredibly powerful. And you don't have to say a particular phrase. It can understand 30 variations of what you say.
So it doesn't have to match the code.
It does not have to match.
Wow.
Done.
All right, now watch this.
Select all photos.
make a new presentation with these.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Why not? Why not? The computer knows what to do.
It knows what to do.
Go to slide one. Change master slide to title center. Edit slide title.
Ready.
Vacation photos.
Now, do you put the sounds in the
select
script?
Photos?
No.
It does it automatically.
That's the OS.
The OS
capitalize that.
I have to show this on MacBook.
Stop, edit.
I just dictated that, capitalized it.
So great.
Move this slide to the end.
Done.
You can control.
Now,
watch
you're
this.
Clicking, but the dictation is still open, right?
I left it running.
So you just leave it running.
Yeah. So I just asked to edit that photo back in Photos.
Right.
It knows the photo. It showed it to me.
Right.
So I'm going to go in here, edit out the background crap, and make that tighter.
It's a second set of hands.
Yeah, that's really neat.
So it's
and you keep that running, which I like it, so you can do kind of a mixed operation.
Yeah, so I have it. You can have it set for a variety of ways. You can have it set for only works when you press a key,
right,
or it has a keyword like computer. Right. But I just have it open running because I'm sitting here in my office and I'm working, right?
Show this in Keynote.
It knows where it is. Now I'm going to select it and say update it.
Oh, wow.
Update this image.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
So it goes back to Photos, does an export, imports it. Watch this. So I have an image
here.
Show
this in Maps.
So I'm going to go to the Maps app. It's going to take me to that image.
No.
Then I'm going to do a 3D view of it. That's the Pope's Palace in RLA, right?
Yeah, we saw it too last year. Yep. Were you just there?
So, okay, now I'm going to take this and say, put this over there.
Export this map to Keynote.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
These are the kind of things that the computer should be
should
doing.
Do. Yes.
I should, you know, I'm still doing the stuff by hand. I'm still working, but it's doing the grunt work of import, export, grabbing this, doing this.
Right. Which is, frankly, it's doing much faster than you would do because you'd have to dig through stuff.
And, yeah.
What URL is that? Dictation commands?
Yeah, dictationcommands.com.
I'm going to show this on Tuesday on Mac Break Weekly and tell
everybody. Apply a magic move.
Yeah, tell everybody about it. That's really awesome.
Apply a dissolve.
So,
oh my God!
You know what it's like trying
do
to set up
again.
A transition.
Pain in the ass. Oh, we
watch
saw that
this.
Too.
Do that again.
It knows what you just did.
So much
do
easier.
That again.
Oh my God!
Now watch this one. So here I have an image that's wide.
Scale this to fit slide width.
Now watch.
Make a long panoramic sequence.
Done.
Done.
Put descriptions on top of every image.
This is like futuristic.
This is today.
Search spotlight.
I'm doing this live.
Tourism
in
France.
This is like you do this in a sci-fi movie. Zoom, enhance, center.
Open result.
So I just did a system search, found that.
Select the table.
Select the table. Now watch this.
Export this table to Keynote as a chart.
Oh, my God. This is so much faster than doing it by hand.
Yeah. This is
now,
what
you happen to know by heart because you wrote it, the Keynote
start dictionary, from the top.
Which helps.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can create. How long does it take to create standard things that you do?
Oh, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. So
it's worth learning this.
Put those in a library of standard commands and attach them to a voice.
Look at that. Oh, this is the pano I created.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't even know Keynote could do that.
You try doing it by hand, you can't. But if you automate it, you can do it.
Oh, my God. When were you there?
This was... This was the last. This was down the Rhone River Geek Cruise.
Yeah, we did a river cruise. We did this river cruise.
But, yeah.
So I didn't know he was doing river cruises.
He did a couple. This was like.
Oh, I missed those.
Yeah, this is like the last. So then it goes back out again, and then. Remember the one I did with the Magic Move?
Yeah.
So then I select this.
Look at that.
It scales down and shows you the place.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
So now watch this. Now I've
saved this presentation.
So it saves it.
And the thing is, you...
Hold on. Save this presentation to my thumb drive and eject it.
Saving document vacation photos to drive digital briefcase.
Nice.
Dismounting digital briefcase. Done.
So, what else do you need?
I just saved it.
Yeah.
Scratch that.
So I made a mistake. I said scratch that. It undoes.
Add a blank slide.
So now I'm going to add a piece of text. I'm going to add a URL to dictation commands here on this. Okay, dictation commands. Now watch this. This is the topping. So... You know, people do video, so you want to...
Turn this into a QR code.
Scale down
10%.
Scale down 10%. So this, I have a library of 400 commands for iWork and the Finder and photos that you can install from dictation commands. And you can do this demo yourself. This is what's possible on the computer with automation when you combine automation and just dictation. This is not Siri. We're not looking at Siri here. This is not, you know, natural language interpolated server stuff. This is just useful stuff.
It's been there for years.
Yeah, it's been there for... You could have done this 10 years ago.
Why aren't... This is what I don't get is that would be so much more interesting on a keynote stage to show that... Than about 1,000 things they show. That's so cool.
But it's Mac only. It's Apple right. script.
It's not iOS, yeah.
Right.
Wow.
iOS had Apple events.
But if
iOS had Apple events, then you could do this. But that's what I see.
What I love
as a
is
vision.
That you start it and it keeps running, and you don't have to keep. I mean, you could set it up to keep hitting a key, but you don't have to.
No.
So you can do your work, and you can add. It's like having an assistant over your shoulder. That you can say, "Oh, to scale that 10%."
Yeah,
that, I mean, that's so much easier. That's really
why
awesome.
Shouldn't we be doing that? Why isn't that on every machine? Why can't I just do that? Because you can see it's possible.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Nobody knows this. You can do. I've used a Mac for 20 years, 30, 40 years, whatever, since it came out.
I've had that website up there for a long time. And
well, I'm going to.
Occasionally, I'll hear from somebody in England or something going, wow, this really helped me. You know, I'm in a wheelchair and I can't tell you how much this has helped me. I hear those kind of things occasionally.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. So there is a script, and that script's on dictation commands.
Yeah. There's actually, I have 14 different libraries, script libraries that handle the commands. And the installer will write the commands into the system. So when you create a dictation command in the Mac, it lives in a property list file in your preferences folder. So what I do is I create a property list that's got like 400 commands
in it. They're in there.
And those commands talk to the library, the script library.
So you make a plist that has... now I understand how dictation can see that because it's just loading that on the plist.
Okay. And you can say, make a new presentation, create a new presentation, make a wide presentation, make a new presentation with the gradient template.
But the beauty is,
you can make these different ways.
You can make more. You can make as many as you want. Just look at the dictionary for keynotes.
If you watch the video on dictation command, there's a page of videos there, and it will show you all the different things you can do with this
that's
kind of
amazing.
Stuff.
Amazing!
It blows you away.
Yeah. Wow, that's really amazing.
So this
keynote's a good use for that. Actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Perfectly. Yeah. How many times you're sitting there and you want to apply a transition?
Painful.
Apply a magic move. Boof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apply
it's
a
much
dissolve.
Easier.
Boof. Do that again. Boof. Do that again. Boof.
That's amazing.
Show this photo. Edit this in Photos.
Boof. I honestly feel like nobody knows this exists. It's like, good Lord.
Well, how do we get the word out? I'll just tell everybody more.
Yeah. The website's there for people to use.
Thank you,
Sal.
Thank you. That's pretty amazing. Wow.
I think what's happening with Siri shortcuts is going to help a lot. Yeah. It's going to get people used to the idea and expecting. It's right. going to set up an expectation right. that they're going to go, why can't I do this everywhere? Why yeah. can't I do this everywhere? I can do it on right. my phone. Why can't I do this
right.
everywhere?
Right. Does Safari have a dictionary?
Yeah.
I might have to give up that Surface Studio and start using a Mac on the...
The Omni stuff is amazing. I think where Ken and the guys are going, now that you've seen the level of what you can do, clicking a web page and it does stuff over here, and data map, heat right. mapping and data mapping from
You know, discovery is the big problem. That's really the only problem with this is discovery. People just don't know it exists.
Yeah. Well, they don't even know to look for it. It's stuff that they don't even know is possible.
Right.
It's like you said. Well, your first reaction was, this is like from a movie.
It's like Minority Report or Blade Runner.
But it's a reality.
But it's there. It's been there for how many years?
At least 15.
That's good. That's Sal Segoyan, part two of our interview. What a great guy Sal is. Don't forget the Command D conference and Sal's website. And I'm going to call him Saul. I know I am. And Sal's website, because it is a great place to get more information about all the things he talked about. It's really great having you, Sal. Thank you. We do triangulation every Friday. I'm a little blown away by Sal's stories. We do it every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC. If you want to join us and hear from some of the brightest minds in technology, and then there's me. You could tune in, watch it live at twit.tv/live. Join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv or download on demand. We have to on demand audio and video of everything we do. For this show, it's twit.tv/TRI. And don't forget, of course, that you can always subscribe in your favorite podcast application. That way you'll get it every week. I have a feeling, though, if you go to the website, twit.tv/TRI, and you go back, you'll find a whole bunch of interviews you might have missed with some very interesting people. This is one of those shows that just is evergreen, lasts forever. 361 great interviews, and we'll have more to come. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Triangulation.